The Making of a Modern Man, a podcast dedicated to ambitious men who want to unlock the potential from their mind, body, and life. My name's Jack Taylor, and I'm a men's health, performance, and behaviour change specialist. I believe that every man has the potential for greatness. Most just don't know how to unlock it. And that is the intention of this podcast, to help you step into your power and become the man you've dreamt of being. So if you're now ready to elevate all areas of your life, let's dive in. Today's episode is with Austin Sparks. Austin is a previous client of mine, and he's had an incredible journey to get to where he is today. We discuss how he went from being bedridden with anxiety and illness to signing his first professional footballing contract, plus all of the lessons he learned on the way. So whether you're into sport or not, there are tons of insights and value for you to extract from today's episode, such as how to pick yourself up when you're mentally in a low place and how to become a peak performer. I always enjoy catching up with old clients, and I especially enjoyed this episode. It also gives you an insight into the type of coaching that we do inside of the Modern Man Collective. So if you're ready to unlock your potential, let's get into it. Austin, welcome and thank you for being here, mate.
Thank you. Yeah, hello. My name's Austin.
Awesome, dude. No, thank you. So we've obviously done some work together in the past. We are very clued up on who each other are. But for those who aren't listening, I think it'd be beneficial for them to get a bit of a initial understanding as to who you are, what your journey has been up until this point before we dive into it all in a bit more detail.
Yeah, sounds good. So I'm Austin. I started working with Jack because I was kind of looking for, if I'm honest, just a PT at the time, because I wanted to be, you know, I was going to play football. I was going up to Sunderland to kind of try and kickstart a bit of a football career. And I was quite slow, I've always been quite slow and quite weak, and Jack knows that. But so I said to him, I'm kind of just looking for someone that can help me get stronger and faster. And then he told me all of the mindset stuff he did as well. And I really, really took a good interest to it and just kind of started there. And I'm kind of in love with learning about mindset now.
Nice, man. Nice. And for you, what has always been your biggest dream and aspiration that has been the golden thread throughout all the work that we've done?
I mean, probably playing for England, playing for Sunderland. They're the kind of goals that I want to get to. But that's kind of the big goal. And then we've been building smaller and smaller goals on the way up to that, I guess.
Nice. So let's start from the start. Let's take it back to prior to us doing any work together and prior to you kind of diving into this world of self-improvement. Specifically at that point in time, I know you said that you weren't necessarily looking to work on the areas that we have put a lot of focus and energy onto. But what would you say for those who are listening, because they might be able to relate, what are the common symptoms that you were feeling at that point in time where you maybe recognize, you know what, something needs to change?
Yeah, I think I was kind of just coasting through my days, because obviously at this time I was at school and I was just kind of going through the motions every day, kind of getting up, doing the same thing, not really having anything exciting unless I'm playing football. And that was kind of it, really. Like, it's one of them things where you're just kind of, you're waiting for the next thing to happen. You're waiting for, okay, so today's Monday, on Thursday I'm playing football, on Saturday I've got training, or I've got a game or whatever. You don't really have, you're not really taking any action. You're just kind of sitting back and letting life happen. And that was kind of the biggest thing for me. I just kind of felt like I wasn't really making the most out of my time.
Yeah, completely get it. And for you then, in recognizing that maybe there was an air of coasting going on, how was that showing up for you in other ways across your life? What was the impact?
I wouldn't say it was too negative, because, like, obviously I'm younger, like, it wasn't really the end of the world if I was just kind of going through school, not putting loads of effort in. Of course I still put a bit of effort in, but, you know, I was getting like average grades at school, kind of not really doing anything outside of school other than football. And it's just kind of like, you're not really developing. You're just kind of going through life without making much progress, really.
for sure. And ultimately, if we look at it, aside from like the educational side of things, but your bigger overarching aspirations, which have been there for a long time, and that's obviously the goal to play professional football. If you were to continue down that path of like coasting and not necessarily living every day with intent and working towards that vision and you, yourself, putting the amount of work that you have into yourself, what kind of an impact do you think that would have had on that goal?
Yeah, I don't think I'd be anywhere near it, to be honest. I think I didn't, if I'm honest, I didn't have goals as big as I do now back then, just because I didn't know that I could put this much. That's the thing. I didn't know I could put as much effort into it as I am. I kind of thought, okay, I'll train with my team when I can. But in my head, I didn't realize I could be doing all of this training on my own, like all the time. And I was still going outside, having fun, having a kick about every night or whatever. But I wasn't like training with purpose and intensity and like doing it for a reason. I was just kind of doing it for fun and just kind of going through the motions.
Nice. I think that's also, for anybody who is listening, a really good insight, is that we often, when setting goals, have very little understanding of actually what we are capable of achieving. And we set the mark often quite low, because we underestimate what is capable in like the space of a year, let alone in the space of our lifetime. So for you, when did that change, when you started to set bigger, more grandiose goals?
I'd say the second that I moved up to Sunderland was when I started really focusing on what I wanted to do, because it kind of took me away from like all my distractions and all the other stuff, because I was purely focused on football. And that was when I kind of thought, okay, I can try and make something out of this. I can, if I focus and I train properly with intent for the next 2 years, then I have a chance to be able to do something.
Again, another good point there is distractions. What were the distractions at that point in your life? Obviously, being a young lad, and how, what kind of an impact, should I say, were they having on the idea of getting to where you wanted to get to?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's going out, partying, seeing, meeting girls, all of that sort of stuff. And like, I was kind of on the verge of going down that route and partying every week and doing all of that stuff just when I moved up Sunderland. So I think it was kind of perfect timing for me, really, to stop myself doing that. And it made it a lot easier knowing that I wasn't doing that and not having to revert back to basics, I guess. And then to start building, I could just start building straight away. Does that make sense? Yeah, I didn't have to go back to the start. I could build straight away.
And I'd imagine there are a lot of people who went down the other route and the other path of partying, girls, drink, drugs, etc., because unfortunately that is super common. Now, it's almost like a fork in the road, isn't it? And for you, did you find that path to be difficult? Did you find the decision to walk down that path to be difficult?
Not really, to be honest, because as soon as I set my goal of, okay, this is what I want to do, I want to be a footballer, I want to be able to play football as my job and be able to kind of make a life out of it, I kind of knew straight away it's not much of a sacrifice. Like, because I hadn't started going out partying loads and all of that, it was quite easy for me to kind of step away from it, because I almost didn't really know what I was missing. So I'd say it was quite easy for me to just focus and get on with what I wanted to do. Because the other thing is, if it works, which it might do, it might not, but the result and the kind of the price for that is much better than going out partying on a Saturday night.
Is that something that you were thinking even at that point in time, is that weighing up the long term versus the short term?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's not even that. It's just, it's kind of decisions in the moment. Like, I love football. So if I had to decide between a game on a Friday night or training on a Friday night to a party on a Friday night, I'm picking training every time just because I enjoy it more. And then that kind of made it a lot easier to kind of make the decisions when it's kind of clashing and you've got to pick one. It's quite an easy decision.
For sure. And I think, I would imagine that there were times where your friends and your social circle were going out on, let's say, a Friday night, and there was maybe an element of peer pressure, or at least you were feeling that internal conflict of, oh, am I going to be missing out if I don't go to these events? Are my friends going to drift away? And I think these are all challenges that we face in the pursuit of big goals in some shape or form. And I think this speaks to a really important point, that it's really important for you to get clear on what your values are and also what your goals are. Because when you do have moments like that on a Friday night where you're choosing to train, or you're choosing to work on your business or your big goals and ambitions, and there are maybe distractions and peer pressure involved pulling you the other way, if you don't have clarity on what your goals are, you don't have clarity on what your vision is or what your highest values are, you're going to find that decision-making process to be really difficult. And you'll often find that you get pulled in all different directions and often end up feeling guilty or resenting yourself in the process. And what I'm hearing from what you're saying there is that because you were so clear on what it is that you wanted, the reasons as to why you wanted it and what you enjoyed the most and valued, that decision seemed to come a little bit easier for you.
Yeah. Couldn't have put it better myself. That's why you're the one in the host seat of the podcast.
Awesome, man. Okay, so you're at Sunderland. You start Sunderland. Talk me through what that kind of experience was like for you, because I'd imagine that'd be quite new and exciting.
Yeah, I mean, before I even went, my goal was to be kind of out of there in a year and be straight into the academy. It didn't happen, but it was a good experience. I had a tough start my first month, kind of settling in up there, kind of getting used to it. I got dragged at half time in my first game, which wasn't nice. But then I kind of just used that as kind of, okay, it's not the end of the world. I just need to get better. I just kept working on it. And eventually, by the end of the season, it went really well. I mean, I was double figures for goals and assists. I was doing well. I was kind of 90 minutes every game by the end of the season. And yeah, it went quite well. I was working hard. And then the second season came and I got a bit ill and then kind of missed most of that second season, came back just before the end, managed to get my fitness back up, and then ended up going out to Gibraltar.
Nice. Now, we both know that you've had your fair share of challenges and hurdles that you've had to overcome on this journey to get to where you are right now. So for those who are listening, and to drop some value and some knowledge for them, what would you say have been like your biggest challenges and hurdles that you've had to overcome? And what have you learned from those?
I'd say in football, it was a lack of confidence and a lack of self-belief. But I say even bigger than that in my life in the last few years, the biggest problem I had was when my heart was being a bit funny for about a month and a half, 2 months. And that kind of really, it was difficult for me because it took me out of football. And that was obviously my thing that was keeping me motivated, keeping me doing the right things. And to be honest, for about a month, I just didn't do anything just because it was really difficult for me to kind of do stuff when I'm kind of anxious and scared about what's going to happen. Like if I'm going to be healthy, if I'm going to be able to play football again, all of those kind of worries came in. So it's kind of just that anxiety. And I found as well that I did a bit of research on it, and I found that all footballers, or all athletes, when they get injured or ill, suffer some sort of depression because they haven't got their escape or their release that they normally have. So for me, that lasted about a month where I just barely got out of bed. And then I found out what the ways to go about it were, the ways to get better. And it was just kind of doing things like going on walks or taking a ball out and doing 50 kick-ups or whatever. And it's just kind of finding those ways to escape your mind almost, like moments where you get out in nature, and you just kind of have a moment to yourself, kind of a bit of mindfulness, or where you can even detach from all your problems, which is what football did for me, which is why it's so important to find, if you're in a position where you can't do what you love, where you can't do what you're trying to do, where you want to kind of work towards your end goal, you have to find a way to still be able to escape and still have your own time.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And Okay. So I would highly imagine then that that situation that you found yourself in, obviously off the back of having the heart palpitations and the troubles that you had with your heart for that month, that that then fed back into that lack of confidence and that limiting belief around football. And it's almost then like a self-fulfilling cycle, isn't it, of the anxiety starts to build. We then start to reinforce these feelings of doubt in ourselves, which often leads to us not being in the zone, let's call it, and making mistakes, which then reaffirms that, oh, I'm not as good, or I can't do this, which induces more anxiety. So talk to me through your experience with that.
Yeah, I think when I did have that time out, when I came back, it was difficult because just before I went out, I was in really good form, that I was doing well. And that's kind of when I came back, I was kind of working my way back in, and I found it quite difficult because I was obviously low on confidence in my body's ability to perform, but I was also low on confidence on my ability to just do what I normally do on a pitch. So it was kind of low levels of confidence coming from two sides rather than just one, so it was even more difficult. But that's kind of what gave me the ability to work around it and kind of work out how to kind of build your own confidence without having to see results. It's like those for me, the thing that helped was just doing extra sessions, doing more training, because that kind of gave me the reassurance that I needed to be able to say, okay, I can do this. I don't need to worry. I don't need to panic. I just need to trust in the practice that I've done when I get out on the pitch for it to show in a game.
I think this was at the time, if I'm right, where we then re-engaged with coaching. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was through your help that I managed to work that out. But I didn't want to give you too much credit.
That's fine. I don't deserve it. So let's start talking about you coming back up out the other side of that. And talk me through, how did you manage to build back up that self-confidence, that self-belief, and get yourself back into a place of good form and good health off the back of that experience?
Yeah, it was the routines for me, building up the morning and nighttime routines, because it gave me a kind of a segue into my day where I kind of, okay, I was kind of warming up to the day almost, where I was getting my daily habits done, my stretching, my meditation, my journaling, whatever it was. It was kind of warming me up to the day, and then it got me switched on. And then when I'm training in terms of football, getting me back into confidence in football, it was just doing extra sessions, because that's kind of where your confidence comes from. It comes from your knowledge of your ability to be able to do things.
Absolutely. And I remember us talking about this very vividly, where we said that actually the way that is going to help you in building your self-belief back up is going and taking action, gaining and gathering new evidence, and then updating your belief system afterwards. So going and doing, and then updating your belief system afterwards to reinforce that you can do this. How did that work for you?
It was good. It was, for me, it was setting the habits that would help me, because obviously there's so many different things you can do, and I didn't want to just load in 100 different habits at once and have to do 100 different things that I hadn't done before, because that kind of would have just killed me. And you can't really, okay, there's be some exceptions somewhere, but you can't really just pick up and do 100 new things every day without any practice. So for me, it was building up to it. So adding two in this week, and then once I've got them two going and I'm used to doing them, I'll add in another two. And then it's kind of, for me, the biggest ones were meditation, gratitude, and what would I say the best one was? Cold showers. Meditation, gratitude, and cold showers, for me, were the three best, because one tests your mind, one makes you happy, which is I was struggling with at the time, and one is kind of gives you a bit of clarity and a bit of peace of mind.
Nice. So you're kind of hitting it from all different angles there. And I know that we played around with quite a few different morning routines and evening routines and rituals for you. giving you different tools to try out and to implement. And we ultimately landed on those three as the best for you to set your state of mind for the morning so that you can then go and attack your day, but then also having a powerful evening routine so that you could leave your daily stresses in that day, not take them into the following day, and ensure that you set yourself up for a great quality sleep that evening as well.
Yeah, for me, the nighttime routine is obviously a bit different. So I was doing journaling and I was doing mobility because obviously I've been training. So I wanted to keep my legs kind of ready to go rather than stiff the next day. And then the third one would be journaling. So again, three different ones, but they're all kind of tailored towards me and what I need. So what I'd suggest is for anyone listening that's kind of setting their own habits up, make sure it's tailored to you and what you need, because there's no point doing the habits that support me if you're going to be going and running a business, because you don't need to, well, you might need to be mobile if you're going to the gym, but it's not really going to be the best for you.
Exactly that. And I think that's a really good point as well, is that we see so many people's lives all day, every day now, don't we? Whether we're reading a book, social media, or whatever it is that we're consuming. I think we're often trying to mold our own life around someone else's life, but we forget that the habits that they've got in place are very specific and subjective to them and what they need. So it's a really good point in figuring out what are the things that maybe you're struggling with at the moment, or what are the things that you think are going to provide you with the most amount of value or bang for your buck, and figuring out what tools or what behaviors and habits actually allow you to work on those areas and start focusing on implementing those into your life. Because if you're creating a routine, a habit, and a structure around a footballer, and actually you sit down all day, every day, and your main focus and value is running a highly profitable business, then maybe you need to start thinking about things like meditation or journaling or gratitude, and focus less on the mobility side of things. But like you say, there's an argument for them needing that too. I want to look at then, off the back of the things that you have learned the most, if you were to pinpoint the biggest turning point in your whole journey, what would you say it's been?
I'd probably say it was getting ill was the biggest turning point, because that's what kind of gave me that was the big setback that I hadn't really had up to that point. So it was something that kind of made me reevaluate where I was going and what I was doing. And actually, it was, I wouldn't want to go through it again, I'd say it was good for me, because it made me realize, okay, yeah, this is what I want to do. So I need to get back from this injury, or not injury, but I need to get back from this, and I need to work again, and I need to keep going. And that was good, because a lot of people obviously have that earlier on with an injury or something like that. I've been quite lucky up to this point, touch wood, that I haven't really had an injury. So that was kind of good for me to kind of double down and say, yeah, this is what I want to do, so let's keep going.
Nice. So that actually just reaffirmed to you how important it was, off the back of how you felt when you weren't able to do it, so that when you did bounce back, you were able to bounce back with full intent, clarity of really what it is you wanted, and attack it properly, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly that. It just kind of gave me more hunger to catch up on the 2-3 months that I missed. I was just like, I need to get going again, and I can't wait to kind of go and see what I can do with it. It was exciting for me, because it was coming towards the end of my second year, and I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Better get looking. I better get working hard so that I'm ready if an opportunity does come.
And for those people who are maybe listening right now, who in some way, shape or form are in that dip, where you were at that point, obviously for you, it was like the illness and injury where you had that setback and you couldn't do what you wanted to do and what you loved. So if for anybody who is in that space right now where they've had a setback of any sort, what would your advice be to them?
I'd say get started, like whether it's through a business or whether it is through sport, you've had an injury. For me, the biggest thing was, as soon as I actually started doing something, that was when I started to feel better. So I kind of sat in bed doing nothing for a month, and I didn't feel better at all. But as soon as I went back up to Sunderland and started training again, the second I stepped off the train up at Newcastle, I felt 100 times better. I've never felt anything like it. I stepped off the train and I was like, whoa, I'm back. And it was just like that, just by taking action and starting, I felt so much better. And it sounds crazy, but it's one of them things where you don't know until you try it. And it's just, once you actually do start, you feel 100 times better.
Absolutely. And that takes us back to the thing that I bashed you over the head with time and time again, which is action alleviates anxiety. And that feeling of being in bed for you and feeling anxious because there is a lack of action, and we almost then surrender any form of control over our life because we feel almost like a victim, we feel helpless, and that's not a space to be in, especially not for a guy. And it just builds and gets worse and worse until we start taking some form of action. Because like I say, that action then alleviates anxiety because you're proving to yourself that there is some form of forward momentum. And that action can literally be just getting out of bed for the day and attacking and achieving one goal or one thing off your list. But that is a piece of action, and that is a piece of evidence that you are moving in the right direction. And then, like you perfectly said earlier, it's then that building block process of working on one or two things a week so you can build yourself back up to an even better position than where you were before you fell into the dip. Talk me through then with where you're at right now. We've obviously spoke about this prior to the podcast starting. What is the future looking like for you? And what do you also foresee to be some potential challenges along that way, and how are you going to deal with them?
Yeah, so I've just finished playing Gibraltar. I was playing out there for just over 6 months. It was a good experience. It was kind of my first time in senior professional football, and I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. But now, tomorrow, I am going out to Sweden to go and play for a team out there in Division 4. And that is going to be a great experience. I'm really excited. I'm going out with 5 other lads that I've never met before. We're all going to go and join this one team in Sweden. It's going to be exciting. Challenges is definitely going to be the language. I need to learn some of that. But also, I'd say, like, there's going to be times where I won't be in the team. I'm sure it happens to everyone. There's going to be times, well, hopefully there's not going to be times when I get injured, but there might be times where something's not going right for me or I'm not playing well or whatever. And the advice that I'll give myself in about 2 months' time will be just keep going, keep training, and kind of stay consistent.
I think I want to quickly touch on comfort zones. For you, what's your experience with comfort zones and stepping outside of them? Because you've done a lot of work, like obviously with myself, but also off your own accord on actively seeking out those things that make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I actually saw a diagram the other week about comfort zones, and it was like your comfort zone is this circle, and then you do something out of your comfort zone, it then becomes this big. And then every time you kind of do something that's not in your comfort zone, it grows and grows and grows. And this is something, even this podcast is something that is kind of outside of my comfort zone. But for me, I think there's nothing better for you than doing something you're not comfortable with, because it's just going to make you grow. It's going to help you. You can't grow in your comfort zone. In order to grow, you have to be uncomfortable. You have to be doing things that you've not done before. You have to be doing things you're not good at as well. Like, you're not going to grow just doing things that you know you're good at and something that you're happy doing. You're happy to have no one looking at you. You know, you have to put yourself out there. You have to be uncomfortable and you have to test yourself.
Never a truer word spoken. Like a true genius. In the time that we've done work together, what would you say the biggest insight, reflection, maybe self-discovery has been for you?
I tell you what, the biggest thing I've learned since we've worked together has been nothing's going to work for you unless you actually do the work. Like, Jack can write me a morning routine, or he can give me a worksheet to do, or he can give me a bit of information that could help me with my mindset or a position, bad position that I'm in. But none of it's going to help if I don't do the work myself. If I don't actively, okay, I'm going to sit down and journal now because I've been told to do it. I have to do it. I know I have to do it. But if I don't do it, I don't get anything out of it. There's no point kind of setting all these plans if you're not going to actually go out and take action on them and kind of be proactive and do it.
Couldn't agree more. There's no amount of books that you can read. There's no amount of work that you can do with a coach. There's no amount of podcasts that you can listen to that's going to change your life if you're not willing to do the work, action, and execute on the plan that you've made. Austin, it has been a pleasure for us to catch up for personal reasons, but also to see how well you're doing now. I wish you all the best going to Sweden tomorrow. I'm sure you're going to smash it, and I look forward to hearing people's thoughts on the podcast.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Get me back in a month's time and there'll be some more stories for you.
Absolutely, man. Sweet. Until next time. Guys, I appreciate you for listening and I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did and you found it valuable. To make sure you don't miss an episode like this in the future, hit that subscribe button. But until then, take ownership, take action, and keep hustling.